Well, good evening, everyone. Scott Fay here on the line, and it's great to have you on the mentorship call. This 12th day of January 2015, and tonight is our very first call back for me on the mentorship line. I know there have been some other calls so far. I know Ed was on the line today, and we got started here last week with everyone else, and I've been, I needed one extra week to get things in line for due to some other commitments I've had in the hopper, including some time with the John Maxwell Company leadership, and I'll tell you about that in a moment. But it's great to have you on the line tonight. And if you're just joining the call and you're not sure what we're about to dive into tonight, let me just tell you that we're going to kick off the book, Good Leaders Ask Great Questions, tonight. And so I've got a couple opening remarks I want to make, but I would encourage you to get with next to your computer because I'm going to direct you to the leader guide, and we're going to look at that for a minute together, the one that Charlie Wetzel put together for this book. And, of course, on this call, we're going to maybe spend a little bit of time with that, and then I'm going to put my own flair and personality, flair if you want to call it that, but definitely my own spin and my own kind of DNA on the lesson, and then we'll talk about it, as we always do, about learning, living, and leading others to, you know, this content. And so I'm looking forward to it. Now, tonight, I really want this to be a launch call, and then starting this Saturday, we'll actually get into Chapter 1, and then be on the rotation on Saturday, really flesh out the chapter, and on Monday nights, flesh it out. But there's many of you who said, you know, I'm going to get on this first call Monday night, and so I'd like to do more than just a simple bonus call of Q&A, because we haven't really built the lesson around a Q&A yet. So there's a couple things I want to do tonight, and I can spend a few extra minutes if we go past the top of the hour, but I can't spend a lot of time past 9 o'clock, so we'll try to make the best use of our time. Let me just share this. After the new year, I got to have now for the third year in a row have the leadership from the John Maxwell Company come to Northern Michigan and do a snowmobile expedition with me. And when I say that, I'll describe it just for the fun of it with you, but this is the third year that John's CEO Mark Cole, his speaker agent David Hoyt, and Steve Miller, who runs his book sales, the three of them, third year now, have come up and we spent some time together. We always try to get Paul Martinelli to come, and I think he would. In fact, I've been snowmobiling with Paul out in Montana, and it was every bit as cold and even colder and even more snow. So it's not for any, and he got on the snowmobiles out there, so I had a great time. Paul is extremely focused this time of year. He's always focused, but he's very focused. And believe me, I get a lot of grief about it because I'm out playing in the snow while he's focused. But that's why he's such a good partner for me. So Mark and David and Steve came up this week, and we did several hundred miles on the snowmobiles had a really great time. But all of that is just kind of noise. Here's what I want to share with you. You know, they've been at John's side for years. You know, I don't know what the collective number, but I know that Dave and Mark and Steve, north of 15 years apiece. So there's probably a collective, you know, number of years of 50 years with John between the three of them. They've seen a lot of things come and go, and they've seen some things that were effective and other things not so much. But I could tell you without any hesitation, they are deeply grateful for what you bring to John and to all things John Maxwell. When I say you, I mean you. You, the team. I just was on the phone with Paul Martinelli a couple minutes ago. A kind of giving him an update of our time together. And I shared with Paul that I've even gotten some notes from John's family of what the team, the John Maxwell team, means to the family, how it's added value to John, how it's added energy to John, how it's added reach to John. The ripple effect is huge. You've heard the statement that when the tide rises, all ships rise. And in this case, you know, with John, there's the John Maxwell team, there's the John Maxwell company. John has John Maxwell motivation, and of course, then there's Equip. Let me tell you tonight that you the team are causing the tide to rise. And yes, when you dive in and do what you do, and here's how you cause the tide to rise. It's you don't really cause the tide to rise. I don't want to diminish anything, but by just joining the John Maxwell team, I mean, you could be argued there's some benefit to that. But what really causes the tide to rise is when you're out there learning, living, and leading John's content. When you're applying it, when you're applying it to your own life, when you're living it, and you're seeing the results that's causing the tide to rise. When you're affecting your own organizations and your own family and your own houses of worship and your own community, you're causing the tide to rise. When you then go out into other people's communities, other people's organizations, other people's churches and places of worship, when you encourage other people to grow their family, you're causing the tide to rise. When your work causes people to want to go out and buy books from John Maxwell, when your influence causes them to want to get behind the outreach of Equip or attend a leadership event like Exchange, you're causing the tide to rise. And I can tell you, you're causing the tide to rise. And yes, it makes the team more relevant. And it certainly makes the John Maxwell company more effective, more relevant. By causing the tide to rise, is helping Equip to have a better and bigger reach. And John, in a time when many motivational speakers, as John says, he's not one of those, he's a motivational leader or teacher, but when public speakers, and there are many that are really, really good public speakers, are struggling. John, his schedule is more full, and he gets to be more intentional every year with where he speaks and who he speaks to, and so that he can have most influence, because you are causing the tide to rise. And, of course, it comes full circle, because as you cause the tide to rise, for all those things John Maxwell causes your own, that tide lifts you as well. So tonight I come to you kind of with a report of from John, from Mark, from David, Steve, and from that side of John's world. They're extremely great. I got to spend some time with Charlie Wetzel at Exchange. Charlie and Stephanie, Catherine and I, we spent time together, sometimes on the bus, sometimes over a meal. Met a few different times at Exchange. And Charlie expressed tremendous gratitude for you. In fact, he's going to try to be at our certification in February, because he's seeing firsthand what's going on. So good on you. Keep after it, you know. And pull a little harder. Push a little more. And get up a little earlier, stay up a little later. And make a few more phone calls, make a few more connections, because in the process, not only are you really determining your own success, but not only that, you're also enlarging the coast for so many more people. We really are becoming a movement in the John Maxwell team. Thank you. On behalf of John and Paul, Mark, David, Steve, and your peers, I want to thank each one of you. Love to give you a big hug. All right, well, that's my Happy New Year to you. Great, just full of gratitude. And looking forward to 2015. Let's get to this book, John's, one of his newest books, Good leaders ask great questions. I hope you have a copy handy, and I hope you'll go now to our online university. If you'll go to the online university, go online right now to our website, and go to the Business Building tab on the online university. Go to the Business Building tab. And under the Business Building tab, then scroll down to the Mastermind Guides. It says Mastermind Guides and Resources. And then once you get there, scroll down, and you're going to see different options there. Keep scrolling down until you see the title, Good Leaders Ask Great Questions. And that's where I am right now. I've pulled it up. And so what you're looking at, if you are on the university, you know, the first page simply, you know, with a logo and the name of the book, your Good Leaders Ask Great Questions, Your Foundation for Successful Leadership. And then, by the way, you were to click on the Mastermind Facilitator's Guide. There's a guide there to be printed for each chapter. But I want you to be on the Mastermind Facilitator's Guide. That's called An Interactive Personal Growth Resource by Charlie Wetzel. On page 2 of that, if you scroll down, there's a note from John Maxwell. And page 3 is the beginnings of what we put in all of our mastermind resources is how to lead an impacting mastermind. We talk about what is a mastermind, who should participate, where, how often, how long should we meet, why lead a mastermind, what does a good leader of masterminds do. Next page is what are some good house rules for the meeting time, how should I measure success, how is this facilitator's guide set up, and then it gets into the specifics of this particular mastermind. So far, all the way up to page 4 is just general information on masterminds. And then Charlie set this one up a little bit different. He gave you really 4 specific meetings to have. The first one is, which we will do Saturday. We're going to do chapter 1 on Saturday, why are questions so important? Number 2, the second week we're going to look at what questions do I, and this is the title of John's chapter, what questions do I ask myself as a leader? What questions then in week 3 do I ask my team members? And then number 4, is which leadership questions would I like answered? And really what that is all of the leadership questions in the rest of the book. Or in that case, it's the questions that people have asked John. So, and what we're going to do is we're going to break out each one of those chapters separately, week by week. Now, you can either run this as a 4-week mastermind, or you can run it as a 10-week mastermind. Your choice, but those are the options. And if you do run it as a 10-week, then you'll take number 4 and you'll repeat that for the rest. You'll kind of follow that guide for the rest of the book. And then Charlie lets you know kind of what you can expect out of the facilitator's guide with the summary and the goals, mini lessons, some the series of open-ended questions, insights, and an application section. So he lays all that out for you. And then he tells you what to do prior to your first mastermind session on page 6. I'm just going through this quickly because I think this is a resource that some of you may not have known is there. I have never really taken the time to point out. I've assumed, and I've assumed incorrectly. So on page 6, he tells you how to become familiar with the book and the mastermind, how to decide on a time and place, success, select and invite your participants, make sure everyone gets the book, give the first assignment a week before the first meeting, prepare yourself to lead the group. It gives you some guidelines on how to do that. Then talks about goals. And then he gets into chapter 1. Tonight I don't want to get into chapter 1. I'm going to do that on Saturday. I want to do this as a setup for what we're going to do for the next 10 weeks, number one. Two, I want to give some time at the end of the call. If over the holidays you come up against something and you're counting on this mentorship call to be able to ask your question about what you're doing in the business of speaking, training, leading, or coaching, or with the content, then I want to give some time for that as well. So I just want to kind of lay the groundwork. Before I go to the Q&A and certainly to any general questions, I do want you to take the time to at least write out this question, and if not only do that, then answer the question. In fact, it comes from page 9 on the opening question, and I'd really love for you, for your sake, to answer this question yourself. What do you hope to get out of this mastermind study, and what would be a win? Now, you see the question there on page 9. What do you hope to get out of this mastermind study, and what would be a win for you? This is going to be a different answer for you than probably anybody else who participates in your mastermind. But I want you to ask the question of this study that we're going to do on these Saturday calls and followed up by Monday night. And by the way, I'll do my best to recap on Monday and not just do a Q&A, because there's many of you who can only do Monday nights. You can't do Saturday mornings. So I'm going to try to be as flexible as I can with that. What do you hope to get out of this mastermind? Be fully present in this question. Are you just hoping to, for some of you maybe, what you're really wanting to get out of this is to find out how to teach it. That's okay. And lead others, to be great questioners, if that's a word. Some of you really are here to learn how to better do a mastermind in general. But I hope that there's a good number of us who want to take this study tonight and every week to really learn the art of asking questions. So let me ask you again, what do you hope to get out of this study with me and with your fellow team members? What do you hope to get? What would be a win? Or another way to ask the question is, if you know what you want to get out of this mastermind, then I would love to ask you why. Why do you want that? What is it you're looking for? You've heard me play the game right here on this call where I've asked you right in the room that you're at to close your eyes right now. Close your eyes right in the room you're at, and I want you to picture everything in the room that's blue. Just picture everything that's blue and try to do an inventory of everything that's blue. You've been in this room how long? I mean, how many hours have you been in this room? Maybe it's one that's very familiar to you. But regardless, if it was a brand-new room tonight, we've been on the call for 17 minutes. You've at least been in this room 17 minutes. Open your eyes and look around and look at everything that's blue in the room right now. And I'll guarantee you, you're going to see things that are blue that you didn't remember when your eyes were closed. I mean, you could see it, but you didn't. You saw them when your eyes were open before, but you didn't know to look for them. There are really great questions that will become incredible tools. And my what I'm hoping to get out of this is what I want to learn to do questions better than I've ever done them before, and learn how to ask them, when to ask them, the kind of questions, and all that. And I really hope to be a catalyst that will help you. I remember a number of years ago when I just started my relationship with John, and I have been reading his stuff for many, many years. And then, as you know the story, there's a time when I asked John if I could have the privilege of taking care of his home in Jupiter, Florida. I wanted to take care of the landscape responsibilities. I went down, and we were able to put something together in my company and to take care of his home there on the point. He has since sold that home. It was a beautiful home on the river there in Tequesta, right outside of Jupiter, Florida, just on the other side of the very famous and historic Jupiter Lighthouse. John was out on a point with water on three sides of this property. He was out at the very point on this peninsula, which is gorgeous. If you're a founding member, you many of you were at it, so just beautiful. And only been taking care of it a couple months. And John said, Scott, I'm going to bring down some folks who have been really instrumental in helping equip getting where they are going. And it's going to be some really interesting people there. I'd love for you to come as my guest. We're going to have it catered, all that. That'd be about 100 people. And what was I to say? Of course, I'd love to. And as soon as I said, sure, I'd love to, then fear, doubt, confusion hit me. And the limiting belief that said, I'm just the landscape. And these are people who have built incredible businesses and carved out tremendous fortunes. These are some of Equip's biggest donors. These are amazing people. Every one of them are amazing, and some of them were great missionary leaders, great pastors of some of the greatest churches in America. And I'm just a landscaper. Now, I'm saying that. That's what I used to say. I no longer say that. That's where I was. This is probably somewhere around 2005, 2006, maybe 2007, anyway. And I'll never forget feeling the anxiety about going to this. There was a black tie event at John's place. It was extraordinary. And I picked up Harvey McKay's book, Dig Your Well Before You're Thirsty. And I came equipped with four questions. And I sat down at the table that they escorted me, the table of eight. And to my right side was a guy that you probably have met. You've been with John Maxwell's team very long. And his wife, Norm and Sandy Olson. And I got to my second or third question. And the whole table came alive with these questions. And we had a phenomenal conversation. And all of us left the table. Nobody left the table saying, wow, Scott, you said, it was nothing about any one person. It was, we all left the table. Man, that was a phenomenal conversation. To this day, good friends with Norm and Sandy. That's where I met them. All because of some questions, intentional questions. Tonight, we're going to look on Saturday at so many different points. We're going to kind of flesh this out. But tonight, I just want to whet your appetite. Not only will this be a great tool to lead others through, not only will this unlock doors for other people in their organizations and other people in their opportunities, but this is going to unlock some doors for you, absolutely for you. So I hope you'll show up full on, ready to dig in and dive in like never before. We're going to do some great things. I want to go to the queue and invite you to get in the queue for any reason, whether you want to talk about this book. Maybe you want to talk to me and tell me about what you hope to get out of this mastermind. I'd love to hear that. Or maybe you've got a question that you've been wanting to get on one of these calls for, but because we've been off for Christmas and New Year's, you haven't been able to get in touch with anybody on the mentorship call. This is your call. Hit *6 and join me in this call. We're going to start with Susan, who is down in the Keys and wants to tell me how warm it is when I'm in this frigid weather up in northern Michigan. Hi, Susan.
You're so cruel. I would never do that.
Not in a million years.
Not in a million years. I just feel sorry for the rest of you, that's all. You know, you kind of sort of already answered your question in in your brief talk, but I just have to tell you what happened to me today as I was reading the first chapter. I realized, you know, and I've always known this because John has talked about the asking of great questions many, many times. He has always said that it is, you know, one of the reasons for his great success. You can tell his interest in people because he is always asking questions. But ever since we read the book, Becoming a Person of Influence, I've really been focusing for myself on what can I do more? What can I give back? How can I influence my community more? And this just, it hit me so hard today that it isn't enough just to listen to people. You have to ask good questions. And I don't think it's one of my best skills. So I know that I really, really want to work on that as we go through this book. I've picked as my, I picked as my word for this year, renewal. And I'm renewing all of the things and all the different parts of my life and determining, you know, what I want to continue working with, what I don't, where I want to make changes. And I renewed my commitment to my mission statement, and I actually changed it a little bit. But as I was reading my mission statement, I realized how asking good questions can help me, because my mission is to create, inspire, maintain an environment of growth and unlimited potential for all those with whom I come in contact with, while pursuing a healthy, financially secure, joyful, and balanced life for myself. Well, obviously, I can't help create or inspire someone if I don't ask them questions about what do they want from their life and try through questioning to show them that they have their answers within them. And, you know, like Les Brown says, you've got greatness within you and you just have to, you know, see that for yourself. So I think this book is going to be monumental for me.
I think so too, Susan. And I want to share something with you that I did back 3 years ago, and you just caused me to remember it, and I'm going to reinstitute it. You know, there's little pocket notebooks. They come in, you know, spiral, where the, you know, the lid flips over, or they are bound as a little book. But the point is, I used to carry a little. It was my purple book of questions. And it was just a little pocket notebook that I carried in my briefcase. And I was collecting questions, and I'm going to go to my office and look for that. But more importantly, I'm going to get a new one and start over again. And I hope to find my old one, because I had a great collection of questions. And I would encourage you that if this is really a goal for you, a desire, there's lots of ways to do it. You can do it on the note part of your phone. If you have a smartphone, there's a note section, of course, or there's lots of ways. It doesn't matter how you do it. But if you would become a pursuer of great questions and a collector, if you will, of great questions. You know, sometimes people collect quotes, and that's wonderful. But what if we collected great questions? If that's a goal for you, I'd encourage you to do something like that, along those lines.
Oh, I like that. That is a great idea, because I am branching into different areas and I am meeting different people, and I want to get to know people, you know, quicker and forge a connection with them. So I like that very much. As a matter of fact, my boss gave me a notebook over the holidays, and it's called Ridiculously Great Ideas. And so I'll use that book and start recording some of my questions. So thank you.
Awesome. You bet. Great to have you on the line.
Oh, it's good to be back with you.
Happy New Year.
All right.
Talk to you soon. Russ, welcome to the call, my friend. How are you? Give you a chance to unmute.
Hey, Scott, how are you?
Good. Good. And how are you?
Good. So to answer your question, what would be a win, as I was thinking about it, and I'm about halfway through the book. I started reading it before the holidays. A win for me would be to regard it as the go-to guy for advice, but what I would do is ask questions to draw the answers out from the people that asked me for advice.
I'm writing that down. So what the win would be that you'd become the go-to guy for advice.
But I would be giving them advice. They'd be providing their own advice by me asking really great questions.
So, and you'd do that by asking great questions. I love it, man. I love it.
What's that?
It sounds an awful lot like a guy by the name of Christian Simpson.
Right. Well, and I think that's an area where to be a really effective leader, it's almost like helping your people lead themselves, and they've got the answers, and just helping draw it out.
Absolutely.
The other thing I really want to get out of this is what I always find when we do these types of things and have these discussions, I get so much out of the discussion amongst everybody in the team. Use a lot of that to help because I've given out, I guess, about these so far. I bought another case of books over the holidays, so I've been giving them out to a lot of the people I work with and also my so I also see an opportunity to see how we can use some of these techniques in becoming better at asking questions with our family.
Well, you know, I'm glad you said that because you know, we can train each other how to ask questions and not only save time but more importantly really get to the heart of the issue. You know, one of the core values in one of my companies is that, you know, it's not really a core value, it's really more of a company belief that we believe you should never make the same mistake twice, right? And we also believe that to keep that from happening, that it's our job, it's every one of us, our job to make sure we understand our job, and if we don't, we will ask the person who gave us the job to do. And then we ask this question. We say, now, do you fully understand? And that's not just a generic question. It comes from this idea of a credit card swipe where when we swipe the credit card at the store, everybody's in agreement that what's in the basket is what we wanted. The store is happy to let us go with it out the door. We've agreed to pay the price. The credit card company has agreed. Like, there's a lot of agreement that just happened right there when we swipe the card. And if we're not careful, we nod our head in the vertical up and down, and we assume it's like a credit card. But that credit card, there was a lot that happened there. And so we've tried to breed into our organization that please don't say yes until you are fully aware of what you're saying yes to. And I can't know what you don't know if you don't ask. So this thing of questions, be it in our family or in our organization, is really, really important. And if we can not only learn to ask great questions, but if we can teach our team at home, our team at work, our team in the organizations that we serve, you know, what we mean by certain questions, and spend some time teaching the nomenclature, I think then not only do we ask great questions, but the answers we get will be thorough.
Yep.
So I love the mission you're on very, very much. I'm going to see you in February.
Yeah, I'll definitely be there.
Awesome.
Also, I'm going for stage time.
Oh, are you really?
Yep.
Good. Will that be your first time?
Yeah.
So you sent some stuff into Roddy?
I actually get uploaded in the morning.
Good. Make sure you get that into Roddy, and I'll look forward to hearing from it. I hope I know a lot of people just submit,
right.
and I really hope you'll be on stage. I'd love to hear you.
Well, I figure even if I don't make it, because I know it's very competitive, the process will be very beneficial, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, and you've given a lot back to the team, and I can't speak for Roddy, but I feel quite confident that you're going to be able to do it, especially as I don't know how he runs that, I know some of it's a time thing and whatever, but get it in as early as you can so that I don't know if he does first come, first serve or how he does it, but I'll look forward to seeing you on stage.
All right, thanks. I'll look forward to seeing you in February.
Thank you, Russ. Good to have you on the call. Thanks for starting
right.
tonight. And let's see, our next call, 240-344. Is this John? 240-344. Welcome to the call. By the way, after this call, the line is open. Oh, is this John?
Yes, sorry about that. I had muted myself. Shame on me.
No worries.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. You too.
So, in terms of what I like to get out of this, I've been, Christian had, he sends out newsletters, and one of them he talked about, the quality of the things that you're putting in yourself determines, what you push out. And he was talking specifically about TV. So, I started to think about that, and some of the shows that I normally like to watch, I'm like, okay, what am I putting into myself, and what is that going to translate out as? And so I started to watch Cosmos, the new series that they launched last year, and I've been really enjoying it because I'm a science nerd at heart. And, the thing that stood out to me as, they're unraveling the mysteries of space and time is just that it all begins with a question. It all begins, the most monumental discoveries in our world and technology comes from somebody asking a very simple, direct, intentional question.
Yeah.
And that just spoke to me and resonated with me. About, the one I was watching tonight was about, spectrum and telescopes and how somebody just asked the question, Isaac Newton. And it just spoke to me about, a simple question about, where did rainbows came from has revolutionized our world. So what if I could learn to ask better questions in my life? What would be the revolution I would start? And so that it just spoke to me, and I thought I'd share that because I just felt like it was a great analogy for
John. I'm sorry, I got to hit pause there. You said something. I just love the way that came out. What about the revolution? What was the revolution saying? Can you repeat that?
I said, they created revolutions through asking simple questions, about technology, and what could be the revolution I would start in my own life by asking the right questions.
Yeah. Yes. That is tweetable. Well, what's the revolution I would start in my own life by asking the right questions? I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that's a really profound thought.
Thank you.
Words are powerful. Words can be powerful. Not all words are powerful, but many words are. And the word revolution is a powerful word. It's like fascination. You can't be sort of fascinated. You're either fascinated or you're not. And if you're fascinated, a revolution is not a small word. Extraordinary is not a tiny word. Like, there's words that really call for power and gusto, and revolution is one of those. And so what question would I have to ask myself to start a revolution in my life? Did I have that right?
Absolutely. dead on?
That's a great question. That's a great question. Susan, I hope you are still on the line. That's a book. That's a question for your book. For, you know. So go ahead. I interrupted you, John.
No. It's just been it's been an amazing journey the last year. And I think for me to build on the success in terms of joining the John Maxwell team and what I've been able to accomplish in partnership with everybody on this line and all the amazing people I meet, I have to ask myself better questions. And I think my first question I'm going to ask myself is, what is a better question? What does a better question look like?
Let me ask you a question. What's some of the best questions you've ever asked yourself so far? You look back over your life. Go ahead.
I think the best question that I've asked myself is what does happiness look like?
Okay.
In terms of what, you know, not what the world says or family says, but what does my own personal happiness look like? Another question is, what speaks to me in terms of, you know, my fate, my destiny? What are the things that connect to my soul that I feel like I need to be doing with my life? You know, what if I don't fail is one of the questions that, honestly, I'm starting to ask myself again, and I haven't asked myself that question for a long time. Like you were talking about, you know, you were just a landscaper. I had adopted that mentality, honestly, until recently. And I'm starting to ask myself, well, what if I do succeed? You know, what if I am able to achieve what I'm setting out to do? And so those are some of the most powerful questions because they move me in a direction that is in more alignment with who I am, mm-hmm. as opposed to my perceptions of what I think I should be. Which
I love it. I love it. Yes, yes. And to go along with that, I would encourage you to do a very simple exercise. I'd encourage you to look back over your life and name your top 10 successes. And you make a list of your successes and then call out the top 10 successes. And then I would ask you to make a list of your top 10 disappointments, failures, setbacks, you know, whatever you want to call them. And then I'd ask you to look at those two lists and ask yourself on the successes, what questions led you to those successes? What did you ask or fail to ask? Did you get lucky or did those successes come as a result? Because success almost always comes as a result of a question at some point. So look at it. And what you'll probably find in your failures is what's going to really come to your mind is the questions you didn't ask, right? If only I had known to ask. But here's the point. We say experience is the best teacher, or it's been said, and of course John teaches that's not true. It's experience with insight. And if you'll take your concepts, put it with the idea of matching these questions now with your greatest successes and your worst failures, and find to know what questions you didn't ask. And it's not just the specific question, because it's deeper than that, because maybe that situation won't present itself. But if you stand back and say, okay, I may not run into that situation again, but what kind of a question caused that failure or allowed me to get into that failure? Or how did I get blindsided? What questions didn't I ask? And I hope that if you take this idea of developing great questions, that there will be a place in there where you're writing questions you should have asked or could have asked that could have made a difference.
I think that is an amazing idea. There are still things that I look back and, you know, sometimes you reflect back on things and you haven't quite found resolution with them yet. And I think that, you know, a different approach is to ask myself those questions about those different scenarios. And I think that that's an incredible way to you know, move through them. I mean, not move past them, but move through them, because I think there's a learning experience in moving through them. And, right. and you know, I'll take a page from something that you taught me, you know, when I first started the JNT, which is, you know, the answer to the question is about five levels down. Because
right.
it's not just, okay, let me ask the question and answer it and then move on to the next thing. You have to kind of keep revisiting and pick it apart a couple of times before you really get to the truth. And I think that that's a very powerful approach to this exercise. And so I will absolutely work on that this week because I want to know those answers. So I think it's a great way to go.
Yeah, and for anybody who's listening who hasn't heard that three to five levels deep is when you ask yourself a question and you get an answer, then say, well, why is that the answer? And when you get that answer, say, well, why do I want that? Or why is that the answer? Why am I seeking that? And when you get that answer, why is that important to me? Just what John's referring to, you should just keep digging down. John, some other questions that you may have heard me ask, but this would be a great place to put it, is what am I best at? How do I become best at it? And who do I best serve with it? You know, those best questions. You know, just ask myself, really, what's my secret sauce, and how can I take my secret sauce and make it better, and then who do I best give that secret sauce to? What do I need to do more of? What do I need to do less of? What do I need to start doing? What do I need to stop doing? Are some more great questions. John, thanks for joining me on the call tonight, man. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. My honor and privilege. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later.
Talk to you soon.
Let's go to Maria. Good evening, my friend. How are you? Give you a chance to unmute as well.
Hi.
There we go.
I just went to tune the fan off. Scott.
Good to have you.
I am not a good question asker, and as I was going through this first chapter.
Okay, wait a minute. Stop. I need you to. I can't let that go by. So let's rephrase that right from the get-go, because you're never, ever going to say that again. You meant to say was, I'm working to ask better
ask
questions.
Ask better questions, yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, yes. I accept that. I'm working to ask better questions.
Okay, very good.
I think that people who ask lots of questions actually kind of annoy me because I ask them. I think, why are they asking so many questions? But what I've been, as I read through the first chapter, and even as I listened to you, and as I went through a bit of Christine Simpson's coaching, where he talked about the kinds of questions you ask, I realized that I'm missing out a lot in not asking or the knowing the skills of asking the right questions. And therefore, I do hope in this mastermind to be able to better understand the value of asking questions and to be able to ask better questions myself, because I'm not really seeing the value of asking questions and not seeing them as being annoying and wanting to pry, etc. Getting deeper so that I can better understand. It means that because I didn't before ask good questions, it meant that I worked on a lot of assumptions, because if I didn't know, I would assume, and therefore I wouldn't make the right. I would go based on assumptions, and the assumptions would not necessarily be right because I did not ask the questions to get to the right. So even as you just told John to go through the successes and setbacks and see what questions led to either what I asked or what questions I did not ask, I think it would be a good exercise for me also.
Absolutely. Good, Maria. I'm glad you brought up the whole assumption thing, because we haven't talked about that tonight at all, but when we don't ask questions, it leads to us making those assumptions, and that can cost us dearly.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your contribution.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I appreciate you. Geraldine, 306-228, welcome to the call.
Hi, Scott. It's Geraldine.
Good to have you on.
Thank you. You know, I've just learned so much from what you've just shared with each person here tonight. I have done very many things in my life and have been in the public eye, and I have done some serious purging and have shredded 7 garbage bags that are full of shreds of stuff. And as I went through all this stuff, I wondered, wow, I can't believe I did all this. I can't believe I wrote all this. And I've shared with you, like, where am I going now? What am I going to do with this? But just last week, I had a gentleman phone me, and he wanted me to speak at an oil family supper, an oilman's family supper. And all of this is just running through my head, and I just identify with Maria when she says that she was annoyed by people asking questions. Well, I haven't got annoyed. I've become defensive. And I see that. That's a real issue in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And the assumptions, and I get defensive, and then I assume that I know everything about them. And so the lesson that you gave John, I really must do. But the other thing I've learned is, I'm reading John's book. This was my holiday reading about learning to think. Is that what it's called?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Change. How people think, or yes, thinking for change.
Yeah, thinking to change. Is thinking is really hard work.
Yeah.
It's really hard to think about this and what went on and where are you. And the questions, I am just so looking forward to learn about asking better questions so I become a better leader and a more effective person. And I have to, like you say, that we could work in the community, but I just feel that I've got to go through this because I don't want to display my defensiveness anymore.
You know, that idea has never, in the study of this, spending time with John and the whole topic of questions, it's never occurred to me, just the way you said that, of what a major roadblock defensiveness could be when somebody asks questions of me. And I could tell you, Geraldine, that resonates with me. And I think it resonates with a lot of people. I think you're talking about something very, very significant here. I want to ask you this question. The next time someone asks you a question and you feel that urge to be defensive, what will you do? And I know this is a work in progress, and you're wanting to grow in this area, but just having the awareness alone is a huge, this is a really, really great thought. I commend you for it. What will you do next time? And maybe right now I'm asking you a question. Oh, maybe you're getting defensive in your heart. You want to get defensive right now. I don't know. I don't think so. But next time you have this urge to be defensive, and now you have this awareness, what will you do that's different?
Well, I can't spell it out right now, but I'm going to have to think of a question to qualify what they're saying so that I clearly understand it.
Okay, that's a good answer.
Or ask them to repeat it so I can understand it.
So you'll ask them a clarifying question. You're gonna ask them to clarify what they meant or where they're coming from or something to that nature.
Yes.
And that will be an effort both to hear their point of view and to give you some time to not be defensive.
Yes.
It's a great answer. It's a great plan. I like it.
So thank you so much for doing this study.
Oh, it's going to be a great study. Great study. And I'm glad you're going to be part of it.
Thank you,
Geraldine. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
You bet. Well, we're almost at the top of the hour. There's no one else in the queue. I'll give you a few minutes, but I do want to say this. Here's what we're going to do. Starting Saturday, we're going to look at Chapter 1, and then week by week, we're going to go through each chapter. And rather than just on Saturday mornings, really working to make that a two-hour call and Monday night a one-hour call, you know, it may be an hour and a half on Saturday morning because I know several of you want to be on Monday nights. And I can go a little longer on Monday nights. If it goes 2 hours on Saturday morning, that's fine too. But I really, this book ties into everything that we teach. In fact, I think Charlie wrote on the website for this leadership guide that John said it's one of the most comprehensive books he's ever written on leadership. That's a big statement. And I know that Christian Simpson says you can't have leadership, true leadership, without the ability to coach. I was just talking with Christian today for 2 minutes on the phone. And this goes hand in hand. I'm so grateful for Christian's influence on our John Maxwell team of directing us to be coaches, you know, all the way back to when he first did that first exercise with you at the live training with the juggling balls. And don't ever lose sight or track of that, you know, that great word picture, if you will. That great questions or powerful questions are the greatest way to help someone learn. And it's more on the learning than the teaching. It's fantastic. I think Maria is back in the queue, and I'm going to unmute her line before we go. Maria,
yes,
is that you?
Yes, I am back, and I was asking, you mentioned some questions you asked yourself. What are you best at? What is your secret? I missed that. Could you just repeat that, please?
Yeah, so it's the best questions, and I referenced it, you know, like restating with this phrase secret sauce, you know. So it's the same question, but it's just kind of asking it a different way. The best questions are, what am I best at?
Mm-hmm.
How do I become best at it? What am I best at? What is, and that's where I said, what is my secret sauce? What is my special flair? What is my DNA? What am I best at? Second question, how do I become best at it, like world class? If I'm a toe tapper, then how do I become the best toe tapper in the world? Whatever it is. And then third question is, who do I best serve with it? So a lot of people throwing pearl before swine, if you know that statement, that phrase.
Mm-hmm.
And when we find out what we're doing, we've been given talent. As Les Brown says, you can't have a gift without a giver. We've been given a gift by the giver. It's called a talent. It's our bestness. It's our greatness. Now, it's our job to take our greatness and become greater with it, our bestness and become better with it, our special stuff and make it even more special. That's our job, and that's the second step. First is to identify it. Second is to perfect it. And third is then to really know who to best give it to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when we answer those three powerful questions, we are well on our way to living an effective life. Not just efficient, but effective.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I appreciate you, Maria. Thanks for jumping
back
on. Mm-hmm. All right, everybody, we're going to wrap this call up. There's nobody else in the queue. This is scheduled to be a one-hour call, and we're at the top of the hour. Thanks for hanging with me tonight. Thank you for your contribution to the call. Many of you are listening on the online, onto the archive call, and to you, I say thanks for plugging in as well, and we'll see you Saturday, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Good night, everybody. I'm going to take us off of the queue so we can... Good night, everybody. Happy New Year.
Thank you so much, Scott. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Good night.
I appreciate you.
Happy New Year, Scott.
Thank you. Thank you. You too. Good night now.